Everyone, we continue our read through of the New Testament, and today we find ourselves in the second chapter of 1 John. Let's go ahead and open up by reading the first 11 verses. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him. We keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may be sure that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Beloved, I am writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness, and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. We'll go ahead and stop right there. So John is writing, and he says that you will not sin. And yet, he comforts his readers by adding, but if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He goes on that he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world. And whenever we date the letter, the last phrase might perhaps suggest that John is writing within a largely Jewish Christian context and reminding his readers that what the Messiah achieved was for the whole world, not just ethnic Israel. John has thus far spoken of the defiling and destructive power of sin, for which the answer is the purifying power of Jesus' death. The blood that flowed from Jesus' body as he hung on the cross was somehow strangely the very lifeblood of God himself, poured out to atone, to satisfy, to deal with sins in a universal way, much like John 3:16 encompasses the world. A second test of fellowship is then given by John, whether one truly knows God. A person who disobeys Jesus' commandments, says John, does not know him. In contrast, those who keep his word, who live as Jesus lived, such people know God. And they know that they abide in Christ, and that the love of God is fulfilled or made perfect in them. And John then hastens to add, this is not a new commandment, but an old one. If people love their brothers and sisters, they are in the light. But if they hate their brothers or sisters, they walk in darkness. All other commandments are the outflowing of this love, the love which has been newly and completely revealed in Jesus, the love which God now intends should be revealed in and through all those who follow Jesus. And then he gives this brief interruption for an exhortation to endurance in verses 12 through 17. He says, I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride and pride and possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. We'll stop there. So like I said, John is interrupting his flow of his exhortation with these words of insurance, right? These words of blessed assurance. The first set addresses children who've had their for sins forgiven, fathers who know him from the beginning, and young men who have overcome the evil one. The second set now recapitulates those same three categories. He addresses the children who know the Father. fathers who know the one who's from the beginning, and the young men who are strong and have the word of God dwelling in them. These are not prosaic pastoral utterances. Rather, they are strong evocative reminders to members of a community traumatized by schism that they remain a family of faith. The opposite of love for the household of faith, after all, is love for the world. And while the world is for John the object of God's saving love, it also remains a force of darkness and a source of illicit desire. The world and its seductions are ephemeral, but the one who does God's will already possesses the life of the age to come. Now, he provides a warning against these teachers who seek to pull them away from the love of God, the love of the Father, the truth of Christ, and to lead them astray. These antichrist, as he calls them. Verse 18 through the end of the chapter. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that antichrist is coming, so now many antichrists have come. Therefore we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son and the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you receive from him who abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything, and it is true, and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. So John states that it is the last hour, which seems to approximate to the last day ushered in by Christ coming, his life, death, resurrection, and ascension to the throne of heaven, the messianic age ushering in the advancement of his kingdom into the nations, and the great picture of the division of mankind for those in Christ and those apart from him. The proof for this claim is that strange and dangerous new things are happening. The Antichrist is coming, akin to Paul's man of lawlessness in John's version of the beast in Revelation 13. And in fact, John says, even now, these kind of antichrists, plural, have come. These strange figures are not the notorious representatives of uber rebellion and ultra wickedness that are still yet to come, but rather they stand in opposition. They are types of what will be marked in this entire age, the opposition which comes against the Messiah. They embrace the archetypal lie, denying that Jesus is the Christ. And this is not simply an intra-Jewish squabble about titles, but amounts to a denial of the Father and the Son. The Jewish concept here of a boastful figure who opposes God, right, has been reworked around the schism that has affected this community. These antichrists have left the community, taking their lie with them. And it is this leaving and disbelieving that proves that they never were truly believers to begin with. They never really were of us. Because John makes something very clear. If anyone is of us, they will never depart from us. And if they depart from us, it shows that they were actually never of us. These secessionists that deny the Messiah, the Anointed One, that John is saying these have rejected the truth, but not you. You, John says, are of the truth. And if you abide in truth that was from the beginning, you will abide in close fellowship with the Son and the Father. And so to abide in truth means to possess the life of the age to come, right? This is already present. A newness of creation that is already found in you is a seal and a promise of things to come. And so if you practice righteousness, it is a proof that you have been born of God and you will be able to stand and abide in Him. So this closing exhortation, John is calling his readers to be reminded that they are to guard themselves from deceivers and antichrist, plural. They are to love the Word, abide in truth. And to do that, we must live the Word, pray the Word, memorize the Word. And before every sentence, lay ourselves wide open to whatever the Spirit wants us to do by His Word. Let us abide in Him. Abide in Christ. For there, life, love, and nourishment is found day after day. God bless.